Welcome back, everybody, to the Fantasy Hockey Hacks podcast, a member of the Hockey Podcast Network and the official podcast of Left Wing Lock. I'm Devin Davidson, your host. With me tonight, Bruce Gunther. Bruce, what's going on?
Oh, we're looking through the COVID nightmare that's going to be fantasy hockey for the next couple of weeks. Holy cow.
Yeah, this whole week's just been a shit show, honestly.
Players and teams are dropping like flies.
All week.
Yeah.
Before we get rolling here too far, I should mention Tyler is not going to make it tonight. He had hockey, and so he's not going to be with us. John's not able to be here tonight. His grandfather passed away recently, and he's with family. So, from Bruce and myself and Tyler, we just want to send our condolences to John and his family. John, we miss you, bud. Obviously, the podcast isn't the same without you, but we'll see you when you're ready to go again.
Absolutely.
And that does mean that John's list, our first segment of the show, is not going to happen this week. Bruce, I think I had mentioned to you, we're going to start adding on a fantasy performer of the week to John's list. We'll do that tonight, but we're not going to cover off the main portion of that segment. So just so our listeners are aware. But yeah, the week was just kind of a gong show, truthfully. And then,
yeah,
you know, we started talking about before we got on and started recording, I was scrambling today trying to update notes and schedules and you know, of course, for our listeners, our waiver wire picks were intended with actual games happening this coming week. So there's going to be some waiver wire recommendations that might not make total sense for the week, but maybe rest of season make more sense. So I guess with that, Bruce, let's kind of get through our fantasy performer of the week. I went with Dylan Larkin. He's center, yeah, right
he
wing.
He played the game the other night, eh?
Yeah, yeah. 76% rostered. He first career hat trick. I actually
really.
Yep, that was his first career hat trick.
Oh wow!
Shocking. Yeah, no, I thought for sure he had scored a hat trick before, but it was and. On the week, he had 5 goals, 2 assists, plus 3, 1 power play goal, 9 shots on goal, 6 hits, 20-41 time on ice, and just 3 games played. So a heck of a week for Dylan Larkin.
For sure.
Honorable mentions do go to Clayton Keller, who we'll talk about in the waiver wire section, and Vladimir Tarasenko. How good has Vladdy been this season?
He's been really good. For a guy that wanted to get traded, really good. Because he isn't going to get traded. Not until the offseason.
Yeah, the way he's playing.
There's no way. The way he's playing, St. Louis isn't going to trade him. Not a chance. Not in season anyway.
Well, or who's going to want to pay what the cost is going to be?
Oh, yeah, right. He's found himself again, right?
Yeah. Should talk about that line, too. It's not just Tarasenko, but Barbashev and Pavel Buchnevich.
Yeah, it's like they're doing some great things, like, because I have a good chunk of their team and they're all in IR. my poor Drip Fantasy team, I have 11 people either on IR, out, or day-to-day that hasn't played. 11 yeah. players.
Yeah.
Oh, you should know, you stomped on them this week, so.
I didn't check to see what the end score was there. I saw that I was up, but... I mean, obviously, I can't say anything when half your roster was sitting out. So
got curb stomped this week pretty hard, but then
yeah, I had the same problem in Yahoo. I think I got beat up pretty bad. But again, when half your roster is injured, it's what do you do about it? And I think a lot of people are in the same boat this week, right? And will be next week too.
Oh, yeah. The latter part of this week and next week is going to be an absolute train wreck for some people because there's going to be lots of rosters that are going to be shut down because of COVID. And if you're fortunate enough to have a roster that hasn't been shut down and two, you've got players playing, well, good chance you're going to win because good chance your opponent isn't going to have that.
Yeah, exactly.
In a lot of cases.
Exactly. Well, let's hop into the hockey news and injury updates for December 13th to the 19th. I'm actually going to start our partner Left Wing Lock. As I'd mentioned last week, has a handy dandy COVID protocol absence list on their website. I'm just going to run through that here really quickly. The link for that that page is in our show notes as well for anyone that wants to check it out. But they've kind of broken it down into players currently in protocol. And there's actually I'm not going to read through all of it because there's 113 entries.
It's 15% of the league.
Oh man, it got out of hand this week. So yeah. Maybe what I'll do is, you know, we've got some notable names like Jesse Puljujärvi, RNH were put on the list for the Oilers. I think Duncan Keith is on that list. Okay. Boone Jenner, Jack Roslovic, TJ Oshie. Who else do we have here? Taylor Hall, Brad Marchand, Curtis Lazar, Cal Peterson's added to that list. PK Subban, Alex Nedeljkovic. Who else, Bruce? Nicholas Backstrom. That was kind of funny. So Nicholas Backstrom comes back after being injured, right? Plays one game and then goes back.
It's COVID.
I
think one's been on there for a while. That's Sebastian Aho.
Yep.
Svechnikov was recently added to that list as well.
Yep. Cale Makar, your boy Cale Makar. Drew Doughty. Yeah.
You see Carolina won last week with only 16 players?
I did.
They only were able to play 16 players and they still managed to win.
Well, you know, and on that note, we should probably talk about the Oilers. Throw the Oilers some love here. I honestly, Bruce, I was very close to turning that game off at 2-0 early in the first period.
I didn't watch the game. So well, I had bad feelings, so I just didn't watch it.
They had such a depleted lineup. It was awful. And early in the game, well, I texted you guys too. I said apparently they're playing by prison rules, right? Because there was that hit on Sevier from Lazan, and that didn't get called. And there was a couple other misplays, and it wasn't good. It looked pretty ugly. But the Oilers, like, they had 41 shots on goal last night.
That's good.
And gave up a season low 17.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. So, I mean, they came back, obviously, pulled that one out. Warren Fogle had a couple goals. That was nice to see.
Very nice to see.
Yeah. So, not all hope is lost, but of course, now they're not playing for a few days. So,
get some time to rest.
Yeah. Anyway, sorry, back to COVID protocol here. You know, JT Compher, Andre Burakovsky, who else is on? Jeremy Swayman. Like you said, a good chunk of the league has been added to this list. Patrice Bergeron is a guy that we missed here earlier. So, I'm not going to read through all this, but for our listeners, if you want to check it out, the link is in the show notes. It's all there. So players currently in protocol, there's players formerly in protocol. It's a long list, so we'll just leave it at that.
It's a long list.
And, you know, unfortunately, most of our news and injury updates this week are COVID-related, so news will probably be a little shorter this week than it normally is. But the week started with, like you said, 6 Calgary Flames players and one staff member entered COVID protocol. And that really just got things kicked off for the rest of the week. Anton Khudobin was placed on waivers by the Dallas Stars. We had talked about that last week, Bruce, as a group. That was kind of what we had expected to see after the Ben Bishop announcement.
Yep.
And then, of course, he did clear waivers. I was a bit surprised. Like, did you not think he'd get picked up somewhere?
I thought he would, but it's probably the extra year on his contract is why he didn't get picked up.
Yeah.
Because I figured big Buffalo might be in the mix there for something. Even Arizona might have tried something, but
somebody.
I think the extra year probably had a lot of teams thinking, well, probably not. Don't want that for the extra year.
Yeah, that's fair. Jets head coach Paul Maurice said that Wheeler will be out weeks. He was added to long-term injured reserve, I think, today. So,
oh boy.
Yeah, I've got him in Yahoo, Bruce. I've got him stashed. I don't know if I'm going to keep him because I've got too many injuries to deal with. So that's unfortunate, but hopefully he gets back and healthy soon.
Got a few decisions to make on my one team too. There's a few of them there that are out and that are on the bubble. I probably could.
Yeah.
Just stream players in place. And
yeah,
we'll see. Probably won't be making too many roster changes this week unless someone gets really impatient and drops someone that's worth picking up. But
yeah. Well, it is Christmas week anyway, so whatever. People won't be focused as much, I don't think. But
drop a good player. Merry Christmas to me.
Yeah, exactly. Zach Hyman is listed as day-to-day. He hasn't played yet. This was back, like I said, earlier in the week. Shoulder injury. Looked like he was in some discomfort leaving the ice, and we're not really sure. Could be a week-to-week thing, right?
I think so.
Yeah. Three stars of the week, Thatcher Demko, Sebastian Aho, and Devontaes. Demko went 4-0-0 with a 1.20 goals against average and a .962 save percentage. That's
fantastic.
The Bruce Boudreau effect is in full force.
Bruce, there it is.
Bruce, there it is. I was listening to Spit and Chicklets a couple of days ago, and Ryan Whitney was losing his mind over that whole Bruce, there it is thing. Like, he just was ripping Canucks fans. He couldn't handle it. But I think it's great. The fans are loving it. Bruce Boudreau is a likable head coach, right?
Yeah, and too, like, you listen to his press conferences and stuff like that. They're awesome. Hey, how can you not love him? Like, that's just fantastic. Like, you don't usually head coaches, they come out, you get the cliches, you get a bit of commentary, and that's it. And there's a lot of color when Bruce is out there, and that's good.
He's a personality that I think keeps the guys light, right? They're having fun, and it shows.
Yeah. Well, and that's what Vancouver needed, right? Everyone was clutching that stick extra hard there in Vancouver, and he gets in there and lightens everything up. When you look at Besser, has pretty much turned himself completely around.
Totally.
Pedersen is getting better. Demko is playing out of his mind. It's fantastic.
I'm happy Oilers he's on my roster.
Be careful. What's that?
I said I'm happy he's on my roster.
I tried trading him for him a few times, but I got shut down. trying the buy low scenario, and no one was biting.
Well, you got to try, right?
Exactly.
But no, they've swung a complete 180. That team looks completely different. They might actually have a chance to make the playoffs now and do something. So
Oilers better be careful. They'll be nipping at their heels here right away.
Yeah. Yeah. Good thing the Oilers picked up a couple wins here before the break. That was important.
Definitely. They needed that.
Yeah.
They needed it.
Alex Barkov was placed back on IR on Monday. He missed time the previous two games with a new upper body injury. It was a knee injury that he sustained in early November that held him out of the lineup for 8 games before this latest tweak. Still in IR, and it doesn't really seem to matter because, like you said, half the league is on COVID protocol. Anyway, I'm going to try really carefully here just to skip over all the COVID stuff. I'm not going to cover it all. Again, for listeners, I've added individual players into the show notes so you know who was in there, but we could be here all night talking about COVID this week. So,
no kidding.
Patrick Laine was on the ice for practice with the Columbus Blue Jackets on the 13th. Yay. So that was good. Yeah. Are you a Laine owner, Bruce?
I am a Laine owner, yes.
Nice. Robbie Fabry signed a 3-year, $4 million AAV contract extension with the Detroit Red Wings.
That's great for him.
Yeah. I mean, he's done well there, and I think it's a good fit for him just being a younger guy. How good has that team been so far this year?
They've been really good. A lot better than anybody expected them to be.
For sure. It's been great to see. Mo Sider. I don't know if you saw that pass he made. It was on his backhand to Tyler Bertuzzi, but...
No, I didn't see it.
It was a beauty. I think we'll talk about Mo here. We're going to have the note on him later in the notes, but he's been really good this year. A lot of fun to watch. COVID. COVID. I think it's at one point, COVID. Bruce, you said everybody has COVID is one note you made in here. So,
I think so, yeah.
Anthony Duclair made his return to the Florida Panthers lineup on Tuesday night against the Ottawa Senators. Radulov and Rupe Hintz missed Tuesday's contest due to injury, not COVID.
Poor Rupe.
Yeah.
Boy, he just has trouble staying healthy.
But you know what I think? Did he play last night? I think he had 3 assists last night, if I recall, or maybe it was Friday, but anyway, he's not same as last year.
Unfortunately, I'm not an owner this year, so I don't have his stats readily available.
If memory serves me, anyway, Scott Brunovich is listed as day to day with illness, non-COVID related. Like we said, Khudobin had cleared waivers on Tuesday afternoon. The NHL postponed the Hurricanes and Wild game after Carolina had 4 additional players enter into COVID protocol. Moritz Seider, there it is, recorded his 20th career point. So he's got 3 goals, 17 assists, and 29 games played. The third fewest games by a rookie defenseman to reach that mark with the Red Wings, behind only Nicholas Lidstrom at 22 games played and Jeff Sharples at 26 games played.
Wow.
Yeah. Pretty impressive stuff from Moritz Seider.
Very impressive. Very.
Oh, yeah, there's your note right there, Bruce. Everyone has COVID, exclamation point. Well, so that's when they added more. I think by the end of the day, 3/4 of that Flames roster was on COVID protocol, along with Robbie Fabry, Patrice Bergeron, and on and on and on. The Oilers are targeting Shane Wright to fix secondary scoring issues. Thanks for that, Bruce. Yeah, they're doing their best impression of a lottery team. Or at least they were for six games.
Yep. That's when I put that in there.
Brutal. Christian Dvorak is out indefinitely with a lower body injury. Josh Anderson is expected to miss 8 weeks as of December 2nd due to an upper body injury. Tough goal for him and the rest of the Canadians.
Yes.
As we mentioned earlier, Nicholas Backstrom is off IR, played one game, back on COVID protocol. He did have an assist, I think, and five shots on goal, though, in his return. So, you know, basically what you'd expect from Nicholas Backstrom when he does play. Alex Tuch was spotted in a regular practice jersey on Wednesday. Head coach Don Granato said he needs more time in practice with full contact, though, but he is close to return. And then we found out, I believe, today he is a go for tomorrow. So, if you're a fantasy manager looking for some offensive depth, give Alex Tuch a look. I actually don't know where he's playing yet. I didn't see any notes on lineup combinations or anything. Maybe I'll just pull open the Left Wing Lock app, Bruce.
You do that. I'm going to use the website. I don't have an iPhone, so I can't use the app.
As of now. But Mike said that might change, so we'll have to see. Oh, he's on the first line right wing next to Cousins and Murray. And then let's look. Power play.
Cousins and Murray?
Yep. And then he's playing on the first power play unit with Jeff Skinner, Dylan Cousins, Victor Olofsson, and Rasmus Dahlin. So, probably a good pickup, honestly, if you're looking for some help at the bottom end of your roster. We've seen what he can do in Vegas, right, Bruce?
Absolutely. We have to investigate that here while we're podcasting.
Crickets from Bruce for a while. Yeah, exactly. You know, Bruce is looking for
Alex. If I go silent, I'm adding players. Click, click, click.
It's been known to happen on this podcast when I'm yapping for 5 minutes and the rest of you are just scouring the waiver wire.
Quick before Devin gets him.
Yeah, exactly. While he's distracted.
Devin's talking, he's distracted.
Kevin LeBanc is going to have surgery or had surgery for a dislocated shoulder. He's expected to miss significant time. The St. Louis Blues traded goalie John Gillies to the New Jersey Devils for future considerations. Jordan Binnington was removed from COVID protocol, and he did play tonight. How did that game go, Bruce?
That's a great question. I know the score was 4-2, but I can't remember who it was for.
4-2 for the Jets.
Because I had both goaltenders started tonight.
You know, I was going to talk about this in the waiver wire picks too, but I might as well bring it up since we're talking about the Blues. Charlie Lindgren's been absolutely phenomenal for the Blues. I don't have the stats off the top of my head, but he's 5-0, and he's got like a 1.25 goals against average or something and a 9.35. So like, he's somewhere in that realm. I just wonder, you know, Jordan Binnington tonight had an 8.82 save percentage. And he has not looked great this year. He's been okay at times. He's been pretty good at times. And then he's just been a lot of not so good. So I wonder if Lindgren starts to eat into his into the net share a little bit there. But
very possible, at least until if Lindgren can keep it up. I think he'll get a few extra starts unless he falters, and they'll go back. But as long as he keeps winning, I can see him sneaking a few starts away from Binnington.
Yeah, I think so. Players and teams are notified of enhanced protocols that are going to be in place until at least July 7th. I didn't actually read to find out what those enhanced protocols were, but just so we're all aware. Alex Ovechkin scored his 274th power play goal, tying Dave Andrechuk for most all time. Artemi Panarin left Wednesday's game and is considered day-to-day with a lower body injury. Bruce, I think you're a Panarin owner.
Yes, I am. He's one of the 11.
Yeah, there you go. Philip Grubauer left Wednesday's game after a collision with a Ducks player. The goaltending in Seattle has not been good this year.
No, it hasn't.
Yeah, doesn't matter if it's Grubauer or Driedger, which is unfortunate. I really thought Driedger would be better this year, but he has not been very good at all.
Well, they kind of are a little, the defense is a little leaky. We thought they might be a bit better, but the defense is a little leaky. So
yeah, I mean, the offense hasn't really help. Been an issue though. Hey, McCann, I think has exceeded expectations.
McCann, Eberle's pretty much right on. I think, Jordan Schwartz and Jordan Eberle, I think are pretty much right around their career numbers.
Where you'd expect. Yeah. More or less.
Yeah.
So that's been good to see.
But they're getting support from the extra, like from Donato and, what is his name again? Tanev.
Oh yeah. Actually, he's been better than expected, I would say. Offensively.
Yeah. Yeah. They're getting it from all different parts. So that helps.
Yeah. No question. Kyle Beach and the Chicago Blackhawks reached a confidential settlement related to the negligence lawsuit filed by Kyle Beach against the team. Some good news there for Kyle Beach and his family.
Definitely.
Spencer Knight was sent down to the AHL on Thursday. Over his last eight games played, Bruce, 2-4-1 record, 3.07 goals against average, an .874 save percentage, and a negative .816 goals saved above average.
Ouch.
Yuck.
yuck is a good way of putting it.
Yeah.
That's
not good to all of our listeners out there who drafted Spencer Knight early thinking he was going to be the starter there. My condolences to you and your roster. That is not ideal.
No, it definitely isn't.
Like we said earlier, Jeremy Swayman added to COVID. Bennington back. Iskanen did not play Friday against the Blues due to illness. This is where things really kind of took a turn. The Bell Center was closed to fans on Thursday night after a request from Quebec Public Health. And it just kind of went downhill from there. Hey, Bruce, like we had COVID already, but pretty then much. It was like we're shutting down the rinks. And
Bell Center went down to zero. Air Canada Center was 50%.
Okay.
But I don't know if they actually played a game in there since before they... Did the Leafs get shut down or are the Leafs still...
No, I think they went to 50% capacity, but in Toronto, so for Leafs games, for Raptors games, and then in Ottawa, they close the concessions. So you can go to a game, but you can't get food or drink.
Okay.
Yeah. And like I said, at 50% capacity. So, for a fan, that sucks. Like, I mean, I get it. Yeah. It's COVID, there's health measures, but the whole point of going to a game is it's a social event. You want to have a drink, you want to get some food, right? You want to just enjoy something Definitely. That's different. And it kind of just takes away from the whole experience, and it's going to hurt team revenues, right? They're going to whatever.
Oh yeah. It's for sure.
There's things more important than money, but I just, for the league itself, it's not great, right? It's just, it's unfortunate, but it's the way of the world right now.
Pretty much.
What else do we have here? Jared Spurgeon re-injured his lower body injury. He's ruled out. He was ruled out for Saturday's contest, but I read this morning that it's not short term. He's going to be out for quite some time, and it doesn't require surgery, so that's good. I guess from a fantasy perspective, this really helps the value of Jonas Brodin moving forward.
Yeah,
he should be back on power play one, and probably somebody if you're looking for a defenseman, I'd keep tabs on him.
Checking now.
Kyle Palmieri suffered a lower body injury against the Bruins on Thursday night. Steven Stamkos recorded his 900th career NHL point, and Andrei Vasilevsky set an NHL record with his 63rd win of the calendar year.
Wow.
Yeah, pretty impressive. He's 63-21-4 in 2021, including regular season and playoff games.
Incredible.
Yeah, like we talked about lots on this show, Vasilevsky is one guy at the goaltender position that I would feel just fine picking up at 9th or 10th overall, and I've done it before, right? He's so consistent. He's on a good team. Doesn't matter if Kucherov's there or not. They continue to find ways to win. So,
yeah, absolutely. The mark of a great team. Great team.
Exactly. Well, back-to-back Stanley Cup champions, so.
Yeah.
Bruins Habs game was scheduled for Saturday. It was postponed due to COVID. And then this is a big story this week was Paul Maurice resigned as head coach of the Winnipeg Jets. the quote, as reported by Friedman, was, "This is a, you know, Murray said, this is a good team. I'm a good coach, but sometimes you can only push so far. Sometimes a team needs a new voice. They haven't quit on me, but need a different voice. It's the right time for it, and I know that." That was rare, hey, Bruce, for a coach to be self-aware like that and to just step down without being asked to leave.
Very rare. You don't see that. It's, most will go to the bitter end until they're basically locked out of the arena.
Yeah. Get dragged out kicking and screaming.
But Maurice, too, isn't your prototypical NHL coach either.
No. I like Paul Maurice. I had a lot of time for Paul Maurice as a head coach.
Me too.
He always treated his players with respect. He was good with the media. And they won. That Jets team won a lot of games, right?
Yeah, he did an awful lot with a team that wasn't much there for a couple of seasons. After they made their big push and came up short against Vegas, they made a lot of roster changes, which did not change the team for the better, and he still managed to pull a lot of wins out of those teams. And this year, it just hasn't been working for him.
Yeah, exactly. Well, best of luck to Paul. I guess the good news was it was nothing. I think it was Darren Dreger that reported it's nothing to do with his family or health conditions or anything like that. He's just stepping down. So, what else we got? The NHL reduced Jason Spezza's suspension from 6 games to 4. He was eligible to return on Saturday, which didn't matter because both Spezza and Wayne Simmonds were added to COVID protocol. I mean, so, honestly, at this point, it's almost comical, right?
Yeah.
Whatever.
Congratulations, you're back. Oh, you got COVID. Too bad.
Yeah.
See you in 2 weeks.
The NHL and NHLPA announced on the 18th the immediate adoption of the enhanced COVID-19 measures, and they'll be in place until January 7, 2022. Bruins, Predators shut down through Christmas. Leafs and Canucks were called off over the weekend. What else? Tanner Kiro was stretchered off the ice in last night's game against the Chicago Blackhawks after a hard hit from Brett Connolly. The team later said that he was conscious and responsive. This was the third such incident over the past week where we've seen a player carried off the ice on a stretcher. Just odd timing, I guess, right? It's just, that's a very rare thing. You see someone stretchered off, but we've seen it quite often here over the past week or so.
Yeah, too many times.
Too many times. I don't know if I added it to the list here, to my notes, but Brett Connolly was actually given a 4-game suspension for that hit.
I think he might have gotten off a little lucky there.
I would probably tend to agree with you. From what I saw, I only watched it once or twice at normal speed, but Kiro didn't even have the puck. Like, he wasn't technically eligible to be hit.
Yeah, and to the hit itself, I don't think there was anything wrong with the hit. The hit looked fine, except for the fact that, one, the kid never saw Connolly coming because he was looking back at the puck trying to see if he could knock the puck down. He turned around, and all he saw was a very up-close Brett Connolly.
Yeah, yeah. So, not great.
And he was out before he hit the ice.
Yeah, it was ugly. It was an ugly hit.
Yeah.
I don't want to see hitting gone from the game. But you hate to see guys injured too, right? So,
yeah, because like you said, he wasn't eligible to be hit. He didn't have puck possession. If he had a puck possession, well, that's different. But Radulov was trying to put it up the boards, and I think he was just trying to tip it, and he missed the tip, and he got clobbered.
Yeah.
Even if he would have tipped the puck, I don't think he's eligible to be hit, is he?
Well, and that's a good question. I don't think a tip technically counts as possession, right? So. I don't know. Either way, not a good hit, not a good look.
No.
Good to see that he was actually suspended.
And good to hear that the kid's okay.
Well, yeah, of course. Yeah. And I think I had tweeted it out, but Joe Pavelski was pretty emotional after the game too. I'm not sure if you saw that clip.
No, I didn't see it.
If I didn't post it, maybe I'll try and go back and send it out, but, yeah, he was almost there. He was in tears just talking about that and talking about his own injury in the past. And just, he's got a lot of time for Tanner Kiro as his teammate and everything. And that was just a rough look for him and for the team. So, Mark Stone did not play today due to an upper body injury. I don't know much more than that, but he was out. And then, of course, Bruce, the NHL and NHLPA have agreed that they're going to continue the 2021-2022 regular season schedule. The details of that agreement were outlined in a tweet that I've put into the show notes here. Cross-border games up to Christmas have been postponed and are going to be rescheduled for later in the season. And they are discussing the Olympics, and the decision on participation is going to be determined in the coming days. And then Spit and Chicklets actually had posted something, and they have it from a source that they're not going. It's been decided already.
I think that's pretty much a foregone conclusion. I think if they went now, it would be... I don't think it would be a good look when they're shutting all these teams down and they're postponing games and everyone's all of a sudden flying halfway across the world to play the Olympics. It isn't a good look. So, well, yeah, I can't see them going.
No, it sucks. Like, I know we're all really excited to see Connor and McKinnon and Crosby play together. And, like, you know, the power play that the Canadian team would have had would have been just absolutely
ridiculous.
Yeah. It's too bad. I understand it, right? It's just, it's not a good look. There's a lot of COVID cases. They're shutting things down. And two, I think a lot of players just decided that it's not worth it. Like, they're going to, the protocols in China, you know, if you get it, if there's a positive case over there, do you have to isolate? It was like 3 to 5 weeks or something.
Yeah, basically until the Chinese government gave you clearance to leave, which, yeah, like 3 to 5 weeks. And they said, depending if you're symptomatic, that could be on the low end. You have to stay until basically your symptoms subside. So if you've got lingering symptoms after, you got to stay until it's all. So
yeah,
you could be there for quite some time.
Well, and the scenario that Frank Saravelli had painted was, what if Connor McDavid goes over there, you know, tests positive, has symptoms, and now you've got the world's best player sitting in China for 6 weeks.
Yeah, that's exactly it, right? And that, you take Connor out of Edmonton. Edmonton's got pretty much little to no chance of going anywhere after that, because at this point, he's still basically about 40% of the offense.
Yeah, that severely hinders that roster if something like that occurs. So,
yeah. No, you look at any of the other players. So you imagine, so take the flip side. So you get Vasilevsky over there, right? So what happens if he gets it? What would that do to Tampa?
Yeah.
Brian Elliott isn't going to carry the load for the rest of the season in the playoffs. That would be more crippling to Tampa than losing Connor and Edmonton.
Yeah, for sure. I think that's pretty much it here for the news. The last thing, I guess, was that the Red Wings did get shut down until at least the 26th as well. So just one more team that's been completely shut down for a few days. And with that, Bruce, it's probably a good time to let our listeners know that the Fantasy Hockey Hacks podcast is a proud partner of NHLShop.ca, your best source for all officially licensed NHL apparel and merchandise. Follow the links in our show notes or on our website. If you're looking for the perfect holiday gift, now's the time. Save up to 50% on select apparel and get free shipping on orders over $99. Use promo code NHLFS99 at checkout. Terms and conditions apply. See store for details. Full disclosure, Fantasy Hockey Hacks may receive a small commission for your purchase, which helps us to continue providing original content and funding Tyler's gambling habits. which that brings us to our next segment, Ask the Hacks.
I want to ask you a bunch of questions. I want to have them answered immediately.
If our listeners, for those that are listening, if you are interested in submitting your own question for Ask the Hacks, please send us an email, fantasyhockeyhacks@gmail.com, or send us a message on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. So kicking us off here, is Alec Martinez worth rostering once he returns?
Oh, boy. Well, if you're in a categories league that hits and blocks and things like that, if you need a defenseman, he's got some offensive upside, but he's behind Pietrangelo and Theodore. But I think if you're desperate need of that and you need some category coverage, I think he'd be worth a pickup.
Yeah, in like a deep 12 or 14 or more team league where some of those categories are included, for sure. Beyond that, if you're in a 10-team or an 8-league, eight-team league where it's yeah, he doesn't have a lot of value in those situations.
No.
That sort of piggybacks into another question. Who is a better pickup off IR, Neil Pionk or Alec Martinez? In my mind, it's Pionk, and there's not really much contest there.
Yeah, I would say the same.
Pionk's great in bangers leagues, and he's getting time on power play one. And yeah, just Pionk's been a perennial fantasy defenseman, producer. Like, he's just someone worth owning, so definitely. I'd keep Pionk over Martinez.
Definitely.
This one, Bruce, who do you like more for the rest of the season, Jonathan Quick or Jake Oettinger?
Oh, boy.
This one's actually, I find it interesting.
I would probably tend to lean more towards Jonathan Quick.
And I tend to agree with you. I just, probably based on volume, I'm just checking the numbers to confirm that. But like, so he's played 18 games. He's got 8 wins, 219 goals against average, and a 930 save percentage. He's got 2 shutouts. Let's take a look at Oettinger. How many games has he played? He's played 9. 2.02 and a 932 save percentage. I mean, at this point, it looks like Quick has really just reclaimed the starting role in LA, right?
Yeah.
So he might be looking at a 60% net share remainder of the season. Jake Oettinger, I mean, they've already said him and Holpe are going to be playing 1A, 1B the remainder of the year.
Yeah. So they're going to be splitting.
Yeah.
Or it could be hot hand. It could be a split. It could go a number of different ways, but.
So if you look kind of over his, like for Jake Oettinger, he's been alternating starts with Holpe for the last 6 games, 8 games. Like, yeah, they've been going game for game, basically, for the last 8 games, 10 games. So I think, yeah, I'd probably lean towards Quick just from the volume aspect. And their peripherals are actually pretty comparable. Quick's got a couple more shutouts. Yeah. That's the way I'm leaning. That's the way you're leaning?
Yeah, I would lean towards Quick myself.
Okay. Would you drop Jack Hughes for Andre Svechnikov? Assuming no one's in COVID protocol.
Considering Svechnikov is in protocol right now. I guess it depends on... I don't know if it depends on too much. Svechnikov is going to put up more points than Jack Hughes this season, so... If it's points, I would lean more towards Svechnikov than Hughes. But if you've got face-off wins in your league, then Hughes obviously is going to be more value there than Svechnikov is.
The thing to remember, too, is Svechnikov hits quite a bit more than Hughes. When I looked at the numbers, so if you're in a bangers league, in my mind, it's Svechnikov, no question. Even in points only, I think it's probably still Svechnikov. Like, he hasn't done much. He has 0 points in his last 4 games played, but he's still on pace for 66 points. I want to say Jack Hughes was around, might have been high 50s. He's on pace for 50 points. But the hits, like Svechnikov had something like 40 or 45 hits, and Hughes had 1 on the season.
Yeah.
You know, so
he doesn't want to damage that shoulder anymore.
No. And he's just typically not that type of player. I think Svechnikov, you got better shot volume as well. Typically more of a goal scorer. I don't know. I just think, yeah, in my mind, it's going to be Svech unless, like you said, there's some of those categories where Hughes might outpace him, like face-off wins or something. But yeah, I'd grab Svech. I think Hughes is going to, like, he looked good early in the year. There was some promise there. It looked like he might break out like we'd all been hoping.
Yeah.
But... yeah, if you're trying to win.
And he still could, but we got to get through COVID stuff here and that. And he still definitely could. But second half of the, I guess we're not halfway yet. We're about a third of the way through the season. So
yeah,
he still definitely could. But right now, like you said, on paper, I think Svechnikov's the better of the two.
Yeah, I'd agree. And New Jersey is going through a bit of a rough stretch here. They just lost again to Pittsburgh again tonight. They are 1-8-1 in their last 10. They've got 6 losses, 6 straight losses.
Ouch.
Yeah, and I mean, so that was my other thing was Carolina. You know, they're 6-4-0 in their last 10 with 2 wins, but they've got a plus 33 goal differential. They're scoring way more goals. They're an elite team, right? They're deep. So assuming health is no concern, I think Svechnikov makes a lot of sense.
Definitely.
I thought this one was interesting. Not even, I just, to me, it's a pretty clear answer, but what do I do with Patrick Kane? And that was all the question was. I looked at his numbers tonight. He's having a bit of a rough season by his own standards.
Yeah, he's just shy of a point a game. Just shy.
Yeah, it was 0.96. And so the last time he was under a point per game was in 2017-2018 when he put up 75 points in 81 games. Still not bad. I mean, he's doing basically what you'd expect out of him, mostly.
If you're looking at trading him, you can find someone that will overpay for him on name recognition, then go for it. But that's a point per game player. That's in fantasy. That's you want players like that.
Well, so I looked a bit deeper, right? I went and I looked at his shot volume. His shots are basically what you'd expect. His three-year average is 3.7. He's at 3.6 on the year. All of his analytics, his underlying numbers, you know, he's got room for some growth. Like when you look at his shooting percentage, it's low right now at 7.4%. His 5-on-5 shooting percentage, on-ice shooting percentage is only 8%. And his secondary assist rate is only 27.8%. So there's lots of room for regression in lots of different areas. I wouldn't be worried about Patrick Kane. Personally.
No, I wouldn't either.
Okay. And then this one was actually more interesting. Would you give up Jari for Marner? One for one, no. Receiving Marner. Points only league. The listener has Gibson and Kemper as his other goalies, but personally likes having three goalies. Said, keep up the great work, enjoys the show.
I would not do it either.
No, Marner for Jari, or Jari for Marner straight up, I'm not doing, and I told him as much. I think, and it's kind of two parts. One, Jari's been fantastic this year. His numbers have been so good. So no, from that perspective, Marner he's injured. He's going to be coming off injury. The listener does have Kucherov as well on his roster. He was trying to kind of bolster the right side. But the other thing I was looking at was he has Gibson and he has Kemper. Well, Kemper's a bit of an injury concern, so I'm not going to trade Jari. Jari's getting tons of starts. Like I said, numbers are great. I'd be much more confident keeping Jari, Gibson, and Kemper. And
definitely.
That was my response. But then this is interesting, Bruce. So I provided that bit of advice to our listener. And then he came back and said the person, the other team that sent the trade request, came back and offered him Marner and Hellebuck for Jari. And that one, I told him, I think that's probably hard to turn down. I obviously, Hellebuck's not playing at the same level Jari is at the moment, but you have to think he's gonna regress a little bit, and I'll just pull up Hellebuck's numbers here.
Yeah, I think I'd have a tough time saying no to that. Yeah, even though both Marner and Hellebuck are struggling a bit this season, I'd have a really tough time saying no to that.
Actually, and so okay, this reminds me of what I told him. I went and looked back, his even strike save percentage for Hellebuck is 9.36 this year. The year previous was 9.20. The year previous, 9.29, 9.20, 9.29. Like, he is very consistently in that 9.20 to 9.35 or 9.40 range at even strength throughout his career. So then I went and looked at his PK save percentage. Right now it's at 8.10. So it's way, way low, right? We always kind of expect that on the PK, the save percentage for goaltenders regresses to about 86.5%, right? And looking at Hellebuck's numbers, he's fairly consistently been around 880, 870, somewhere in that range. So there's a massive opportunity here. Like, Hellebuck is going to improve. He's going to see those numbers on the penalty kill improve. And when they do, you know, the rest of his numbers are going to improve along with it. So, yeah, I told the listener, take it and run.
Yep. before he changes his mind, absolutely.
Yeah. As much as I like Jari, and you know that. I've been talking about Jari since last summer, but...
Yes.
You guys couldn't get me to shut up about Jari.
I was still talking about his wrist shot.
Okay, so that's it for Ask the Hacks. Thank you again to all of our listeners that submitted questions. We're always happy to answer them. Hit us up on social media. Hit us up on the website. We love answering questions and digging into this stuff, so please ask away. And that brings us to our next segment, Edgework, the segment where we do the work to give you the edge in your fantasy hockey league. We're going to look at the schedule for week 11, which has been a gong show. And like I said, I had to try and adjust this on the fly today. And so if there's some errors, I apologize, but
it's ugly.
It's been fluid. So anyway, with the Christmas season upon us, week 11 is a shortened one, regardless of what's going on with COVID. There's no games being played on Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, and Boxing Day. As is typical, we're going to have most games played on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and then light days on Mondays and Wednesdays. This week, with everything that's going on, we have 2 games on Monday, 4 games on Tuesday, 0 on Wednesday, 6 on Thursday, and then nothing the remainder of the week.
And if you're cheering for a Canadian team, they have the week off.
Yeah, with no cross-border travel, there's been...
There's no Canadian teams playing.
Nothing. So what, in the notes, again, I provide this every week, but what we have are teams that do not play for the upcoming week: Anaheim, Boston, Carolina, Calgary, Colorado, Detroit, Edmonton, Florida, Montreal, Nashville, New York, the Rangers, Ottawa, San Jose, St. Louis, Toronto, Vancouver, and Winnipeg.
It might have been easier to list who was playing this week.
Probably, but that's it. If you're listening, that's who's not playing this week. We'll move on to teams playing with 2 games. So Arizona, Buffalo, Columbus, Dallas, Philly, Pittsburgh, Tampa, Vegas, and Washington. We've got a few teams here that you're going to want to focus on that played 2 games for the upcoming week. The first one here is the Columbus Blue Jackets. Their strength of schedule, according to Left Wing Lock, is minus 29. The lower the number, the easier the schedule. If you want to see more, go check out the website, leftwinglock.com. They have a home-and-home set with the Buffalo Sabres next week, a club that is currently giving up the 5th most goals against in the league at 3.43 goals per game. In the only other meeting between these 2 teams this season, Columbus thrashed Buffalo in a 7-4 victory. Roslovic had 3 points, 2 goals, and Domi had 3 points and 1 goal. Both players are readily available on the waiver wire if you're looking for a streamer for next week. Also take a look at Boone Jenner. I think he's on COVID, but you know, if he's available, take a look at him. Cole Sillinger and Jake Bean. Next up is Tampa. Strength of schedule is minus 25. The Bolts are 7-2-1 in their last 10, winning their last 2 contests, and they play 2 games on the road next week where they carry a 9-3-2 record on the season. Vegas obviously presents a challenge for Tampa, but you know, as they sit in 2nd in the Pacific, and they've been good in their last 10, they're 7-3-0. The key matchup though for the Lightning for next week is Thursday's game against the Coyotes. Tampa crushed Arizona earlier in the season in a 5-1 win on October 28th. Alex Killorn had 3 points, 2 goals in the game, and Cirelli had 1 assist. Killorn is 61% rostered, Cirelli 42%. Also take a look at Corey Perry at 7% rostered. He's been pretty good this year too. Next up, we've got the Washington Capitals. Strength of schedule is minus 20. They've got favorable matchups next week against the Flyers and the Islanders, both of who have been struggling this season. They're out of the playoffs after disappointing starts. The Capitals lost a close 2-1 game to the Flyers early in the season and have yet to play the Islanders this year. Washington is 6-2-2 in their last 10 games and sit 2nd in the Metropolitan Division. They've got some injury concerns too, though, right, Bruce? I think I read something on Twitter earlier. It might have been from the Capitals themselves, but basically the only player remaining in their top 6 from preseason is Alex Ovechkin himself.
Yikes. Oh man. COVID and injuries, right? Just wreaking havoc with these teams.
Yeah, it's been ugly. Take a look though, Lars Eller, Connor Sheary, Dmitry Orlov, Nick Jensen, and actually Vitek Vanacek got consecutive starts for the first time since October, I believe.
Oh wow.
Yeah, and so if memory serves me, I think he had 40 saves roughly the other night. So he's kind of picking up his game a little bit and making things interesting and goal for the Capitals.
Yeah. Capitals top line right now is Eller at center, Ovechkin, and Daniel Sprong.
Nice. That's a solid line. Only because Ovi's on it, but I mean.
Well, Well, and Sprong has done well too when he's been moved up as well.
That's fair.
He did well last year too when there was a rash of injuries going through.
Yeah, he's that type of player. I shouldn't take anything away from him. He's a good fill-in. And then Bruce, that brings us to teams playing one game this week, and it's not an embarrassment of riches from fantasy perspective. We've got Chicago, LA, Minnesota, New Jersey, the New York Islanders, and the Seattle Kraken. Of those teams, I just looked at strength of schedule and which one had the best matchup, and it's the Seattle Kraken. Their strength of schedule is minus 64, which was the most favorable of all the teams the entire week, all 12 games that occur. But of the teams that just a single game for next week, Seattle's got the most appealing for fantasy managers, for DFS, for sports betting. They take on the Arizona Coyotes. Now, I should mention the Yotes actually did take game one of the season series with a 5-4 win on November 6th. Jordan Eberle and Mark Giordano scored for Seattle in that first game, and both are readily available on the wire. Eberle's off to a great start this year. He's actually on pace, Bruce, for 35 goals and 62 points.
Nice. That's right around his career average. That's good.
Yep.
Love Jordan.
We're big fans. I've been a fan of his since World Juniors. He's a lot of fun to
definitely
watch. But team-wise, look at Eberle, obviously 35% owned. Jared McCann at 28%. Jaden Schwartz at 24%. Mark Giordano at 45%. And Philip Grubauer at 62% owned. And Bruce, we got some exciting news. As we are now a member of the Hockey Podcast Network, we are also a partner of DraftKings. And the NHL season is well underway, and DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, has an unbelievable offer to celebrate the greatest sport on ice. New customers can bet just $1 on any NHL game and win $100 in free bets if either team scores a goal. Doesn't matter if it's a clapper from the point, a deft deflection, or a highlight reel goal from McDavid. However they light the lamp, you win. If DraftKings Sportsbook isn't available in your state or location yet, DraftKings won't leave you empty-handed. Everyone can play for huge cash prizes all season long with DraftKings Daily Fantasy Sports Contests. DraftKings is giving all new customers a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes with their first deposit. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now, or the DFS app. Use promo code THPN, bet $1 on any team to score, and win $100 in free bets. If they score, you score with promo code THPN this week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL and the NFL for those of you who are football fans. Must be 20 years of age or older in New Jersey or Pennsylvania only. New customers only. Minimum $5 deposit and $1 wager required. One per customer. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problems? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. And with that, Bruce, let's move on to the next part of our Edgework segment, Week 11 Waiver Wire Targets. That was a really long ad read, by the way. That was my first time
through it. Take a breath.
Yeah, sorry, no, couldn't breathe. Anyway, waiver wire targets, like we've said in the past, will be focused on players with ownership of approximately 50% or less, starting with Clayton Keller. And Tyler would probably rip me right now for talking about another Coyote. I think we've talked about him on the show in the past. But you know what? He's got left-wing, right-wing eligibility. He's only 22% rostered. He's got two games next week, which is, you know, in any other week, that'd be like a four-game week. He's playing on the top line with Barrett Hayton and Nick Schmaltz and on power play one. What I thought was really interesting, over the past 30 days, he's got 16 points, 6 goals, 40 shots on goal, which is over 3 shots per game, 21-15 time on ice, and in his last two games, Bruce, he had 15 shots on goal.
Loves to shoot the puck. That's good.
Loves to shoot the puck right now. So,
good things happen when you shoot the puck.
Yep. He's at this point, doesn't really matter that his team sucks. He's, in terms of fantasy production, absolutely take a look at Clayton Keller. I think he can help your roster, like I said, and just because he has two starts next week, especially.
He's bolstering his trade value.
Sure is. Next up, we got... Again, I should preface this. We had mentioned that some of these picks aren't going to be totally applicable now that nobody plays next week, but initially, St. Louis had, I think, two games on the schedule. They're down to nothing for next week, but one guy we want to talk about is Ivan Barbashev. Center, left wing, right wing eligible, so it's rare to see tri-eligibility these days, and he has it. He's rostered in 55% of leagues, playing with Buchnevich and Tarasenko. He's also got power play one time. He's got 13 points, 7 goals in his last 11 games played, 23 points, 11 goals in 30 games played. And in Bangers leagues, he's got 52 hits to date, just shy of 2 hits per game. So, I mean, that's some valuable category coverage.
Definitely. And with a good chunk of that team being injured, he's making the most of his opportunities here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think I shouldn't say I think, but I want to check his numbers here and see. Yeah. So his shooting percentage is high. It's at 22.9%. His points per 60 is elevated as well. And so is his secondary assist percentage, but at this point, I'm just going to grab him. I'm going to grab him and hope it continues for a while. Yeah. And if it doesn't, I'm not doing anything.
He's third on the team in scoring behind Tarasenko and Buchnevich.
Yeah. That's pretty impressive considering.
Yeah.
I know David Perron's been injured and Ryan O'Reilly's not having his best season either, but.
Yeah. Cause I've got Perron and Shen.
Shen's been injured.
In there. Shen's been injured more than he's played this season. Perron has been out for a while now.
Yeah. Okay, there you go. There's one more. Cam Atkinson, right wing eligible for the Philadelphia Flyers, 44% owned. Again, 2 games played next week, which is a rarity. He's playing with Giroux and Lindblom and on power play 2. I think he assisted on the goal last night, Travis Sanheim, in overtime against Ottawa. In his last 11 games played, he's got 10 points, 5 goals, 33 shots on goal, and he's playing just shy of 18 minutes a game for the Flyers in their top 6 and on power play 2, like I said. His shooting percentage and 5-on-5 shooting percentage are both higher than expected, but his IPP and secondary assist percentages are lower, so it might kind of... We'll just have to keep an eye on things as to how they progress. He does have some tough matchups against Washington and Pittsburgh.
And he's second in team scoring behind Giroux.
Yeah, that's surprising. I think, we had talked about him in our preseason shows, and we kind of thought he was going to have a good season. I think Chris Wassel actually had said he thought he was due for a 30-plus goal season.
He fits in well with the identity of the Flyers. I think just with all the issues that they're going on in Philadelphia again this year, which they were hoping they were over.
Yeah.
He's still figuring out where he fits in all there. So, but he seems to be slotting in nicely with Giroux and Lindblom.
Yeah. I mean, Giroux's been good this year too. Like he's kind of stepped
contract
up.
Contract year.
What's that?
Contract year.
Contract year. There you go. And back to Atkinson, he's actually off to his best production since 2018, 2019.
Good for him.
Yeah. So that's good to see. Kasperi Kapanen. Bruce, I know you've reached for him in the past as a streamer.
Yes, I have. I'm a big fan of the player.
Okay, so yeah, left wing, right wing eligible. He's only 16% rostered, actually. But he's playing with Crosby and Rodriguez on that top line, and he's playing on power play 2. I mean, lost to light there. That line in 56 minutes together has scored 3 goals, and they have 0 against. He's off to a 45-point pace, which is, I think, fairly typical for him, but... looking at his underlying numbers, there's some real room for positive regression, and just the way he's being utilized, I think he's probably worth a look.
Well, yeah, playing with Crosby and Rodriguez. Rodriguez is playing out of his mind right now.
Yeah.
I have him in one league, and I think having Kapanen tag along with him there, I think that'll be a big boost for the kid.
I actually should have included Rodriguez in my honorable mentions for performer of the week because he's been right up there too. I think it was kind of him. The other guys I mentioned, Keller and Tarasenko and Larkin were kind of, they had the best weeks, I think, when I looked at it.
Yeah.
This one's surprising. Max Domi. Not a guy that
I've
reached
finally.
For. Yeah, he's been a pleasant surprise for the Blue Jackets. He's got 15 points and 7 goals in 18 games played this year. Currently on pace for 68 points, which would be his best season since 2018-2019. He's got 3 points, 1 goal against the Sabres in their only matchup of the season, and he plays Buffalo twice this upcoming week. So probably a guy you want to take a look at. 10% roster playing with Roslovic and Jake Voracek. Tim Stützle, center, left wing eligibility, rostered in 36% of Yahoo leagues. Again, Ottawa doesn't play next week, but Tim Stützle has really picked up his game of late. He's got 7 points, 4 goals in his last 7 games played. He's playing in the top six, playing on power play one. Ottawa's power play is actually 13th in the league currently. So I'd give him a look. Oh, wow. Bruce. Yeah, Ottawa's been better on special teams than I expected.
And yeah, I didn't expect him to be that high.
Yeah. So there you go. I wasn't the only one that wasn't aware. But, you know, he's starting to produce. And so, you know, if you're looking for someone that's got dual eligibility and can put up some points, you could do worse.
My one fantasy team needs all the help it can get right now.
Well, like I said, he's not going to help you out for a lot for next week because he doesn't play. But if you can just tough it out and kind of optimize your roster moving forward, he's a guy to look at.
Definitely.
Nino Niederreiter, he's left wing, right wing eligible, 28% rostered. Again, doesn't play next week, but he's been playing with Vincent Trocheck and Martin Nietzsche as well as power play two. He's got 11 points, 5 goals in his last 11 games played. There are some red flags, though, with his production. His shooting percentage is elevated at 16.3%. His 5-on-5 shooting percentage is a bit high at 11.3%. Secondary assist percentage is high at 71%. So some things to look out for, but he is producing. I think as a streamer, he's got some value.
They don't play this week, do they?
No. So again, you know, it doesn't help you really for the upcoming week, but someone to keep an eye on once the schedule sort of normalizes.
Well, for sure, because you've got Svechnikov and Aho that are in COVID protocol, right? So if the team comes out of this and they're still playing games with Aho and Svechnikov out, Niederreiter would be a good guy to pick up the stream for those games because he'll get some good opportunity.
Yeah, for sure. Sorry. Sniffing some pepper.
As we pause for station identification.
God, that's the worst. You have to sneeze and you don't. Anyway, Tanner Janot, this is a guy that a lot of people have been talking about recently. Left wing, right wing eligible, 23% rostered. Again, no games played for next week, but he's been lining up with Philip Forsberg and Colton Sissons, and he's been playing on power play one. That's probably temporary since I think that's basically Duchesne's spot that he's been filling in, but someone to look at because he's been good. That line actually on Friday night against the Blackhawks posted a 60% Corsi 4 percentage and a 75% high danger chance 4. Playing in the offensive zone 65% of the time. He had a goal. He's got 6 points, 2 goals in his last 5 games played. In hits leagues, he provides a bit of value. He's got 20 hits in his past 5 games. And 65% power play share. I think I looked at the game on Friday. Wow. He played something like five and a half minutes on the power play. Like he got 94% power play share on Friday night.
Holy cow.
Yeah. So
that's awesome.
Maybe more of a deep league option or a streamer while Duchesne's out, but he's producing. He's got great lineup placement. He's playing on power play one. Lots of things to like there. So I would give him a look.
He played big minutes in the last couple of games too.
Pardon?
He played big minutes in the last couple of games. 24-10 on this against Colorado, and then 22-41 against Chicago.
Yeah, he's been good. And if you're like Bruce or I and half your roster's on IR or out, you might as well take a look at Tanner Janot.
Definitely.
We'll get to some defensemen here. I've only got a couple, Rasmus Dahlin being the first one. He's rostered in 60% of Yahoo leagues. Again, 2 games for next week for Buffalo against Columbus. But he's on that top pairing with Joki Haru, however you say that. And of course, Dahlin's playing on power play one. And he's been heating up offensively, Bruce. He's got 6 goals on the season already, and he's actually on pace for a career-high 16 goals. Shooting percentage is high, and so is secondary assist percentage. So, I mean, we'll probably see a cool-down from him at some point. But I think just based on his ice time and his deployment and everything, he's worth a look.
I'm just happy to see him scoring again. He's been through a rough couple of seasons, so it's nice to see him getting back on the, back on the score sheet. And
well, I mean, everyone was touting this guy as the next Lidstrom, right?
Yeah.
Like, expectations were sky high for this guy, and he kind of fell off for a couple seasons like the rest of the team in Buffalo, but yeah, he's regressing nicely, so keep an eye on him.
Definitely.
Another defenseman to look at, young defenseman to look at, is Evan Bouchard. 49% rostered. Absolutely. Like we said, no games for the Oilers for next week, but he is playing on the top pair with Darnell Nurse, and unfortunately, Bruce, they don't want to put him on power play one.
No, he probably won't get that until something happens to Tyson Barrie.
I find it frustrating at this point. Like, Bouchard's done literally everything he can to get more power play time, and they're not giving it to him. I get it. Barrie's got to have a role somewhere, but, you know, Bouchard's on pace for 51 points. And I think when I looked, it was 14 goals was the pace he was on for he looks good. He's a full-time NHLer. He's a guy that can play in your top four for sure, if not your top pair, which he is. And yep. And if he ever gets power play one time, he's a bona fide number one defenseman. Like, he's on your fantasy roster.
Absolutely. Well, he should be already.
Yeah.
Like, if he can put up 51 points and getting hardly any power play time, he should be on your roster.
Yeah. Yeah, I was surprised to see he's only 49% rostered, so not nearly high enough. It's funny enough, so the game last night, he had a 61.5 Corsi 4 percentage, and he was plus 2, 5 on 5, but he played just 17.54. So I thought that was interesting. He, like, you know, he's typically been over 20 minutes, and so they reduced his ice time a bit, but...
Oh, it was Seattle.
It was Seattle, but they're also up on us 2-0. I don't know.
Slow start, as usual.
Yeah.
That's what the Oilers do, slow start.
Yeah, so not a lot for defensemen this week. Truthfully, there's not a ton out there that I've seen. But if either of those two guys are available, I would not hesitate to grab them.
No, definitely.
Which brings us to goaltending. We've got a couple more options here than we typically see on the waiver wire recommendations, starting with Anton Forsberg in Ottawa. He's just 12% rostered. No games for next week for Ottawa, like we've said. Right now, he's kind of in a bit of a timeshare. He's got 44% net share for Ottawa. I think that's shifted. Like, he's been playing more of the games for Ottawa lately. Let's pull up his stats here.
He's beat some big teams. They've beat some big teams lately with him in net.
Yeah, so that was kind of what got me going. I think it was Michael Amato from Goalie Post that, you know, had mentioned something about he had beaten some pretty impressive teams. And so on that list, like, he's got a win against, so from December 2nd, he beat Carolina, Colorado, New Jersey, Tampa, Florida. And then he lost to Tampa on the 16th and then lost in overtime to Philly. And that game yesterday, they showed the highlights and they broke it down on Hockey Night in Canada. And pretty much three of those goals, there was really not much he could do about them. Yeah. Like, it was either deflections or whatever, but it wasn't his fault. So he's actually looked pretty good. Had some notes here, like, over his last five starts, he's posted a 3-1-1 record with a 1.97 goals against average and a 930 save percentage, or 937 save percentage.
That's incredible. That's what Ottawa needs.
They need a goalie.
They need someone to take control of that net, because they're developing up front, but they just having trouble keeping the puck out of the net. So Forsberg can... Well, he's not going to maintain that, obviously. It's going to regress a bit, but if it doesn't regress too much, Ottawa's in really good shape. If you got someone that can take over that net and someone they can roll with.
Well, and so you're bang on, Bruce, because he is going to regress. We know that. He's not going to have a 937 save percentage all season playing in Ottawa. But, you know, if we go back and look at his numbers, even strength save percentage, he's kind of where we'd expect. He's got a 906 at even strength. Last year was a 909. The year before... 884, the year before that was 907. So he's kind of right in the range. If we look at his shorthanded save percentage or PK save percentage, he's at 908. And so it's going to come down. We're going to see that number come down and to be expected. But I think if you need someone who can provide some volume moving forward, if you're in a deeper league, definitely give him a look. The peripherals, definitely. Like I just said, were pretty good in the last five games. So even if he falls off a bit, and if he's at a 915 or 920 save percentage, he can help your fantasy roster.
Definitely. Most definitely.
The next one we got here is Charlie Lindgren. 26% rostered, zero games for next week. He is a backup. He's only got 17% net share. But he is making a case for more starts. He's 5-0-0 in his last five games, a 1.22 goals against average, and a 958 save percentage. It's a limited sample size, Bruce, but, I mean, he stepped up in Binnington's absence, and given the play of Binnington, like I said earlier, I wouldn't be surprised to see him get a few more starts.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, and we don't know how long Huso's going to be out, so he's on IR right now.
Yeah.
So, yeah, if you see Lindgren's going to start and you need a goalie for a spot start, grab him. And basically, until he falters, there's no point not to add him for a spot start.
No, I mean, if you got a streaming spot on your roster, if you can carry three or four goalies just temporarily and see what he does, you know, it's maybe worth being patient with him for a couple games, right? See what happens.
Yeah, because if Binnington has, well, Binnington just came out of COVID protocol too. So if he isn't quite feeling well and has a couple of bad games, they'll put Lindgren in there.
Well, yeah, he's played well. He showed he can play.
Definitely.
Yeah, Binnington's got a 287 goals against average and a 910 save percentage on the season. But that's kind of like he's been around 910, 912 the last 3 years. So
yeah,
this is kind of what we've come to expect from him post Stanley Cup run in 2018-2019. This next one, Bruce, I'm not going to be able to pronounce this correctly, but Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen from the Buffalo Sabres. Butchered it completely. Whatever. It doesn't matter. He's 10% rostered. He plays twice next week against Columbus. He is a backup at 17% net share. They've had some injuries with Craig Anderson and whoever else they've thrown in net there in Buffalo. But is he the new Ullmark, Bruce? Do you think? It kind of looks like it. Like, I don't know where Buffalo's finding these guys, but man, he's been good. 2-2-1 his last five games played, a 1.96 goals against average, and a 939 save percentage.
It's giving him a chance to win. That's all they can ask for.
Yeah.
Like at 22, he's young, right? That's probably a lot. They probably have him up a lot sooner than they wanted to, but like you said, everyone they seem to have a net there gets hurt. He's giving him a chance to win. And like I know Columbus plays hard, but still, you look at a couple of matchups, those are winnable for Buffalo, sorry.
Yeah, they are. And actually, the way the goaltending's been in Columbus lately, like Merzlikins has not been very good, and Korpisalo hasn't really been good all season. So there's nothing to say.
Winnable games.
Yeah, they're winnable games. And looking at his peripherals, I think he's given them a chance. And then, of course, if Alex Tuch is now back into the lineup.
That's a big boost for the forward group. Big boost.
Yeah. And Dahlin's confident all of a sudden. Like, I mean,
yeah,
it's good to see it. I'd love to see the fan base in Buffalo finally get some wins.
Definitely. Most definitely.
This, like I said, the Sabres do play Columbus twice this week, and Columbus took the first matchup of that season series 7-4. So keep that in mind. And then just the last note here really quickly is Jonathan Quick was another goaltender I wanted to mention. He's only 56% rostered still. I think they play one game for next week, like I said, but Quick's been really good this year, 8-5-4, two shutouts, 2.03 goals against average, and 935 save percentage. So if he's available, get him. I've got him in at least one league, Bruce, and I wouldn't hesitate to add him in another if I had a spot for him. So
I wasn't so lucky. I missed out in every league.
At the start of the season, I was kind of waffling back and forth between Cal Peterson and Quick, right? Because they kind of had comparable numbers to start.
Yeah. Well, and Pedersen was the one that we were boasting going into the season, and he faltered coming into the season, and Quick found his youth and basically grabbed a hold of the net, and he's not letting it go.
No. No, and they're not going to...
Great news for LA.
Yeah, it's great for LA. And they're not going to take him out until, like you said, he falters. Like, it's... He's there to stay for a while, so... But you know what, Bruce? We're actually a little long today, which I thought we were ripping through this pretty quick, but maybe not so much. So that's it. That's all we got for you guys for this week. we're actually going to be pre-recording another episode here early this coming week. We're doing something a little different for the 27th. Just given that it's the holiday season, we're all going to be different places, traveling, seeing family, whatever. We're going to try and get back kind of early that week after Christmas to record something and get it out to you guys. But don't stress. We're going to have something out for you on the morning of the 27th. I think it's going to be really interesting. We're going to have Mike McLaughlin from Left Wing Lock join us for that episode. And he'll be hinting at a couple things to come for his new segment, which we had mentioned, I think, last week or the week before. So definitely tune in for next week's episode. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Absolutely. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, it's going to be great. And for everyone out there, just have a Merry Christmas, Happy Holiday. Stay safe. Have fun. Bruce, it was a good episode. Thanks for jumping on.
It was a very good episode. Absolutely fantastic.
This would have been no fun by myself. all right, my friend. We'll talk to you later. I guess I should mention too, guys, again, if you have questions, let us know. fantasyhockeyhacks@gmail.com. Check out the website. Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And we will see you guys in the next one.
Good day, everybody.
Take care.